Windscape, Chapter 1, Hushwish Bay. Jenny felt her father's rough hand fold around hers. Perched against Needlestone above the bay, they were just out of the worst of the wind and cold. The heather shuddered at their feet, and the stunted trees marking the edge of their land arched back from the sea. Cast by the strong gales into an array of gnarled and twisted limbs, the trees resembled a row of cowering old men. Harried by the western winds and battered by an angry sea, Hushwish Bay was still the most beautiful place Jenny had ever known. "Can you see the markers, Jenny?" asked her father. "Can you see where they're going to build them?" Her eyes half open, Jenny peered down over the heather until she saw the field beyond her farmhouse. Along its length, in the marshy dip before the dunes, six stone cairns shone like beacons in the morning sun. Jenny's stomach churned. "You're not going to let them go ahead, are you, Dad? Mum would have said no to all this. You know she would have." "Your mother," her father paused, squeezing her little hand a bit tighter. "Your mother would have wanted what's best for you, Jenny."
"And you think that this is what's best for me? How can you think that this is what's best for the farm, Dad?" said Jenny. Unexpectedly, her father's face brightened. "Do you realise, Jenny, that they'll be over 100 feet high? They'll be the tallest in the whole of the Hebrides."
"Whoopie bloomin' do," Jenny murmured.
Although her father was suddenly talking like some eccentric scientist explaining the most wonderful invention ever, Jenny knew that he didn't want those things in the farm either. As her sheepdog lord began barking down the steading, she thought about her father getting up during the middle of the night. He'd taken to clattering about, making tea and pacing around at the strangest of times. She knew that he was worried about the bank and what they'd said. She knew he was worried about something called repossession. The letter from the bank in Glasgow had given her father until the end of the month. He had until then to raise the amount needed to cover his debts. Jenny knew that there were only 2 days left before the month was up.
"But Dad," said Jenny, "the bay won't be the same. Our home won't be the same. I've heard all about those things and what they do. They're horrible. Up at the Petrie's farm, they cut birds from the air with their horrible arms. They whistle like giant swans in the night time and howl like phantoms."
"Nonsense. Who's told you that rubbish?" said her father.
"Pavel," said Jenny, suddenly feeling a bit stupid.
"I might have known."
He cuddled her in close until she could smell the tobacco from his damp tweed coat.
"It won't be that bad, Jenny," he assured her.
"Look, we'll only have 6 of them. They'll sit between that fank where the tops are now and the cliff."
His fingers fluttered between the small field where they kept the rams and a rocky outcrop littered with frantic fulmars and cackling kittiwakes.
"But Dad," she protested.
"That's the end of it, Jenny."
He closed his deep-set eyes and, after a long sigh, whispered, "I've no choice." Jenny didn't want to get angry with him, but she couldn't help herself.
"So you've said yes to the men who came from the farm last week? Has Murdoch bullied you into it?"
Her father didn't answer. Jenny felt a wave of frustration rise inside her.
"So you haven't said yes? So you didn't sign the form?"
Her father's brow rutted like a newly ploughed field suddenly deepened. Something had caught his attention. She felt his big calloused hand slip from hers.
"Who's that on the beach?" he said.
He rummaged for the binoculars in his thick tweed coat.
"I can never find the blooming things. Always a different pocket when you want hopeless."
He patted each of his pockets in turn.
The beach, a lick of pure white sand that edged the turquoise water in the bay, was usually deserted, but not today. A solitary figure walked along the tideline for about 100 yards and then stopped.
"It's just a tourist," said Jenny. "Look, he's picking up some driftwood."
Her father grunted.
"We need that wood."
"He probably doesn't know it's our beach, Dad," said Jenny,
her frustration changing into concern.
Her father stood up,
the ancient Needlestone monolith looming over him.
"Well, he's going to find out that it's our beach and our wood, pretty sharpish."
He began to walk down through the heather.
The wind whipped Jenny's blonde hair into her face as she tried to keep up with him.
She had to pull the long strands from her eyes every few steps. Below them, on the beach, a further 3 figures had joined the first.
She caught her father's sleeve. They've got stuff with them. What are they carrying, Dad?
Her father tugged free of her grip and quickened his pace.
There's a woman with a pram, shouted Jenny, skidding down behind them.
On the beach, the woman dragged the pram across the dark line of seaweed and debris, its wheels useless in the deep sand.
Jenny could tell her father was getting angrier by the second. As they neared the farmhouse, he cursed and whistled and lord. The old dog replied with a deep bark.
Lord was just as bad-tempered as her father, and they would be a force to be reckoned with if the people on the beach were up to no good.
Another six figures suddenly joined the first four.
Where are they all coming from? She thought. She didn't recognise any of them.
And she could see now that they were carrying cardboard boxes and something long and white that she couldn't quite make out. Is it a flagpole? She thought. A blue minibus had been parked up behind the lambing shed. A second bus was coming down the lane.
Dad, be careful! She yelled.
Her father was running and Lord was snapping at his heels, barking and yelping like a pup. Her heart was thumping. Jenny knew something was very wrong. These people didn't seem friendly. A further dozen or so strangers poured out of the second minibus. They were carrying more wood and more boxes. One man with a scraggy beard struggled with a 5-gallon fuel can. 50 yards from the dunes, her father began shouting at the strangers, but they ignored them. He soon reached the top of the ridge, his big heavy coat flapping in the wind, Lord barking at his side. But still, they ignored them. She'd have to run faster to catch him up. She'd seen the strangers building something, digging something into place, but now the dunes were blocking her view. The fine sand spilled into her shoes as she climbed up the face of the nearest dune, handfuls of marram grass sliding through her fingers as she pulled herself higher. Dad, she panted, wait on me. As the salty breeze cut into her at the top of the dune, she froze. She could see what they'd been building.